And I heard from Joan Harris today. Her husband Ray has been he struggled with leukemia and so forth, but actually had a pretty good week this week. And so some numbers were actually in a positive direction, and the rest of them kind of stayed steady. And this was actually the first week for a while he hasn't had to take a transfusion of blood. I mean, he was actually kind of rejoicing with that. So you continue to rejoice with them. Luke chapter 11, if you will. We're trying to finish up out of 11 there. Luke chapter 11. And I really encourage you, if you have a neighborhood that has a bunch of paper boxes. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet? Just raise your hand. Anybody need a worksheet? If you have a neighborhood with paper boxes, and maybe you're not the type to knock on doors and talk, I mean, we'd be glad to have you do that. But if you just want to get a little stack of those and put one, you can't put them in the mailbox. That's apparently illegal. But you can put them in a paper box, all right? And so I would encourage you to do your neighborhood. Invite as many folks, and if you just want to go around, just say, hey, you know, I haven't talked to you for a long time, but I wanted to know our church is having a special service, and we're going to have an open house and a lunch, and we sure would like to have you come. And I just want to give this to you, and if you can come, we'd be thrilled to death, and I'll be looking for you, and you look for me. If you get there, I'll be glad to have a seat with you. And sometimes we get all worked up over nothing. It's just a hey. We're in the neighborhood, and, you know, I was thinking about you, and I just want to make sure I want you to know that you're certainly welcome over here at our church, and we're having a special day, and kind of a day we'll have a lot of visitors in there, Lord willing, and so I thought I'd give you, you know, just give you an invitation. We'd be glad to have you with us, and don't have to get all worked up about it. Sometimes we just do. You know, it's funny how we are. Luke chapter 11, verse number 37. I'm actually aiming for the first part of chapter 12, and I was going to preach that. And again, we're doing things in Luke that were not in Matthew, and parts of this that we're doing tonight was in Matthew, but I want to bring it back to our remembrance so we're ready to hit Luke chapter 12 the way we need to hit it. So just kind of hang tight. I'm Lord willing, we'll go pretty fast here. I know that's always doesn't mean a thing, but honestly, I feel like it's supposed to. Anyway, here we go, Luke chapter 11, verse number 37. Would you read with me here? It says, "And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner." Jesus didn't wash his hands before he ate. Now, every mom was going to have a hard time with that, isn't she? Anyway, he marveled at it. And 39, "The Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of raving and wickedness." And basically he's saying there, you know, you make such a big deal of making sure your hands are washed, but your heart's about as dirty as they can get. There's an implication there. You know, we want to make sure cross all our T's and dot all our I's, take care of all the P's and Q's, as all the sayings say. And where people are looking, we want to make sure we follow the rules to the nth degree so that everybody thinks we're perfect. But when it comes to the things of God, men don't see that, but God sees it. But we don't see God. And so all of a sudden we start looking at these things, and the message I started, we'll get there in a week or two or three here, but was the fact is that we fear the wrong things. We fear man instead of fearing God. We care what man thinks more than we care what God thinks. Verse 40, he says, "Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also?" In other words, isn't the inside just, at least, isn't the inside just as important as the outside? "But rather give alms of us of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproaches us also? And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers. For ye laden men with burdens and grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, trying to get him, laying wait for him, there he goes and says, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. And we're going to talk about good-looking hypocrites. Good-looking hypocrites tonight. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Biggest problem with a message like this, Lord, and you know it, is that we probably have all fallen in one of these categories sometime in our life to one degree or another, at one time or another. Because, Lord, we're not perfect. We're sinners. We're weak. But, Lord, when we realize we're weak, then we can be strong in you. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time here. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move and give us what we need. And we'll give you the praise for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to see an age-old problem. Men are afraid of men. Women are afraid what the other women think. We're afraid of each other. Men are concerned what men think about them, and we're fearful of what we can see. However, men are often not afraid of God when they should be. Men are not so concerned about what God thinks of them, and they're not afraid of God because they can't see God. Now, we covered this material in Matthew, but there are some things I want us to see here to prepare us. So I want to remind us of a few things. There's a lot of things in this passage. There's huge things. We could be here for the next 4 or 5 weeks. But just kind of give us the idea where we are. Number one, hypocrites are impressed with temporal things. Temporal things. Now, I'm going to say some things tonight. You say, well, I really don't think that what I'm doing is hypocrisy. I think sometimes that's true. But when I say these things, I'm thinking in comparison to eternal things, in comparison to spiritual things, in comparison to godly things. We become more obsessed with temporal things. Now, the fact is, we should be not necessarily obsessed or overly impressed, but we should tend to temporal things. God has given us temporal things, and we're supposed to be good stewards of that. We're ambassadors for Christ. We should represent him well. And we should put our best foot forward. That's fine. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what we're doing because of what some man is going to see, because we want to impress them. Now, when we do things that impress God, it may not impress the rest of the world. Now, it might, but it may not. So number one, hypocrites are impressed with temporal things. The verse says there, it says, and as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meet. Now, it was a Pharisee. We know who he was. The Bible, he's going to call him a hypocrite here in a moment. Letter B, a hypocrite is an actor. An actor. Someone that assumes a character. You know, our reputation is what people think we are. Our character is what God and our wife know we are. is what we are in the dark when no one else is looking. It's what we do at home when no one else is in the house. That's our character. The thing is, God knows our character. So a hypocrite is an actor, someone that assumes a character. He makes it appear that this is who he is, whether it is or not. It's not really what they appear to be or what they put themselves forward to be. This is someone that purposely sometimes appears to be something other than they are. Now, on the other hand, I think there's some people who are hypocrites and they don't realize that they're hypocrites because they've been around hypocrites for so long, they think that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, really, there are some who you live in a certain way, this is the way you're supposed to do this. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've told our kids to be on their best behavior when we had friends come over or, you know, we're having company. I'm not talking about that. You say, well, they're not what they usually are. Well, yeah, but we can be better, and there's nothing wrong with that. On the other hand, it's trying to get ahead, trying to create a persona, trying to, in fact, a lot of times it's standing for what everybody thinks is right, and we're making believe and trying to convince everybody else we're doing what's right when actually it's just the opposite of what's happening. Letter C, hypocrites make much of man. I have found that people who are judgmental are also very aware of how others are going to see them, because that's where they live. They live on this realm. They judge folks on this realm, what they see, are they following the proper rules of etiquette right now? And the thing is, they'll judge others, say, well, they're not obeying the rules. In the meantime, they're going to make sure that they're obeying the rules, so to speak, so everybody's looking at them. But what rules are we obeying? And sometimes it's just a matter of, again, an appearance, making up appearances. It's amazing how folks will get upset about something that really doesn't matter. Now, I might make somebody mad about this, but the fact is, I cannot find it in the Bible, so the fact is, I'm not going to raise a stink about it. We did a wedding one time, and down an open door, and we kind of had the same rig here that we have here. We could take the middle boxes out, bring the steps in, and put the box out in the end, and this gal basically cleared the entire platform. She had all these attendants. She wanted them to stand in couples. And she wanted them to come down the aisle, and you know you're supposed to have the guy on a certain side and the girl on a certain side, you know. All the bridesmaids come down the bride's side, and all the grooms would come down the groom's side. But when they got to the top of the steps, there was some kind of issue that the ones who came down on a certain side, it ended up making very cumbersome, and it was just very awkward. It would have been a whole lot easier if the ones that were going on one side of the platform, the gal came down on one arm, and if the ones that were going the other side of the platform, the gal came down on the other arm. And this gal said, well, why don't we just do it? Well, somebody out of the back of the room said, oh, no, 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 you don't do that. That's not the way you do it. And it was like they broke the unforgivable sin because somebody was going to walk down the aisle on the wrong arm. Now, I understand there's etiquette, this kind of stuff, but come on. I was kind of running the rehearsal, and I said, now listen, everything that's in this book is absolute. All this other stuff is up for grabs because somebody made the decision. You know? What was it? The guys on this side, ladies on this side. Come on now. And we'll have, you know, have church splits over something that when it's all said and done doesn't mean a hill of beans. But we're doing it properly. Watch out. Because I'll be honest with you. I don't think we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and him saying, you had them walk down the wrong aisle at your wedding. I don't think he's going to. I think he may say, that person who was part of that wedding party was never saved. And after they heard you make a big stink about that, they decided, that's what church is, I'm never going back. I could see him saying that. So we got to be careful. What it had all to do about what man thinks. I think sometimes people don't ever step up and rise up in the arms of faith and follow the Lord because they're afraid what some man or some woman's going to say. We've got to get our eyes off of this realm here. Because you know what? There's not one person in this room that's going to be around here in probably 120 years. In fact, the fact is, I think the Lord's going to come back before that. But chances are, they say we're all going to live to be 130. That's why I made it so big. But probably 80 years from now, none of us are going to be here. And somebody who was raising a stink about that's going to be long gone. And some other rule's going to have come up. Psalm 8 says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all thy earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies that thou mightest still the enemy and avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, here's the point, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and a son of man that thou visitest him. That word, when it talks about the Son of Man, thou visitest, in other words, that you even care enough to oversee us and be involved in our lives. I don't even understand why God would even show up at my door, much less die on a cross for me. And yet we will get so impressed with something. Now, I'm not talking about don't be, I'm just saying shouldn't be respectful. Honor to whom honor, tribute to whom tribute. We're supposed to, listen, we're supposed to honor folks. We're supposed to be pleasant. We're supposed to be respectful. I'm not talking about that. We should. But listen, don't make, some people live watching what men think. Look at another D. Hypocrites are big respecters of persons. I'm not going to get into all that, but you know the verse, we're not supposed to be a respecter of persons. You say, well, you're not supposed to respect persons. That's not what it means. That means you. This person comes in all hot and all dressed up, and he's some kind of hot car, and everybody just falls down all over him. And then this person over here walks in. They hardly have enough, you know, their clothes. You can see they've been wearing them for the last 3 months, and probably haven't had a bath in 2 months. And there they are, and they come in, and he said, "You don't say, okay, why don't you sit back there in the back where we can't smell you? And you come up here front with us." He says, "God doesn't look at it that way. He sees an eternal soul, no matter what body that eternal soul is attached to. He sees an eternal soul. He sees a creation that's going to live forever someplace." D, number one underneath that, hypocrites are impressed with men. I kind of mentioned that, but let me give you an idea here. Hypocrites are impressed with men. They are not as impressed with God as they are with the accomplishments of men. Now listen, when you look at the heavens declare his glory. When you see all the stars and all this, what is man that you even bother with us? And yet, we will get so impressed with some man, people will beat down the road, wait for hours and hours and hours to get a ticket to go see some guy go, hey, that on the guitar. And meantime, there's plenty of space where someone's going to stand up and give out the word of God and the power of their Holy Spirit. We'll fall over backwards because, I'm not talking about not respecting these people for who they are. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying we've got to be careful because it's a mindset. It's a mindset. Number two, hypocrites are impressed with the style of their clothes. Now, you'll say, well, preacher, heal thyself. I like to dress. I do. Some people say, "Well, you're trying to." I just the way I like to dress. I just always have. And now, my son, he's that generation when everything is real clean and straight and very plain and so forth. To me, it was that's the old stuff that I grew up with in 1960. You know what I'm saying? It looked like the stuff that, you know, these young couples trying to get going. It's all square. It doesn't have anything. But now that's the style. You know, Hannah showed, she said, Mom, she was 17, 16, 17, and she comes and says, look at this outfit I found. It's so super cute. And she says, welcome to 1970. You know, and so, it's all in the eye of the beholder. You know, all these things we're so impressed with. We had a guy come in here. It can go both ways. Now, you see, now there's some people, if we're not careful, and that's why that's why sometimes I kind of make fun of the, you know, the hanky just for show, not for blow and all that stuff. I like the way it looks. Now, be honest with you, I like to wear a jacket because it covers up this. And so I wear a jacket an awful lot because it kind of smooths everything over. But some people say, well, I had a guy come in once, it's always been years ago. And he came in the back here, and he was a grump before he ever walked in the door. You could see he was looking for trouble. And I went over to look at it, to shake his hand, like I do on Sunday morning. I go in, shake his hand. So he was sitting right about there where Steve is there. And I went in there, and I said, well, how you do? He kind of looked at me. Now, he was sitting there. He was clean. And it was a Sunday morning. And he was dressed like some of our guys who come on Sunday morning. I mean, he didn't have a tie. He had a shirt. He had a kind of collar. You know, but just, you know, nice casual. I mean, it was fine. I never even thought about it. I don't even think about it. I've asked people, did you see what they had on? I don't know. I didn't see it. Didn't look. I wasn't looking at that. I was trying to see who they are. But anyway, he looked at me, and he finally shook my hand, and he sat through the service. On the way out the back, I was standing out in the lobby, and he came by to shake my hand. He said, well, I see what kind of church this is. I said, pardon me? So you can't even take up the offering without wearing a jacket and tie. I said, no, but, you know, they have to wear uniforms at McDonald's, too, just so you kind of know who, you know, somebody that probably knows what they're talking about. That's all. Somebody there, that's all. Well, so you can't do anything around here if you don't dress the way you want them to dress. And I said, well, no, and you know, it took me totally off guard. On the way home from church, you know, it hit me. You know what? He was judging me in the way I dress. And he was accusing me of judging him by the way he dresses. But he was judging me on the way I dress. See, it can go both ways. So, I'm sorry, but hypocrites are impressed with the style of the clothes. Now, I'm not saying there's not modesty to be concerned with. There is modesty to be concerned with. I think we should give our Lord our best. But you know, what if I was a preacher in the Philippines, I probably wouldn't wear a tie up here around my neck and a jacket. I'd probably wear one of those Hawaiian shirts with the collar open. And not even tucked in, it probably would just come straight down, you know. But the fact is, that's what they wear when the dignitaries show up there. So in that culture, that is their best. Though, I don't know, maybe we should go to the Philippines. But that is their best. They don't have to have, you know, a noose around their neck every Sunday morning. Now, I've gotten you so used to it, I don't even think about it anymore. But see, that's not the point. See, all those things aren't the point. It's about what am I doing for him, not what am I doing for you. On the other hand, what I do for him is representing him well for you. Are you following what kind of, you know, it's kind of a catch-22 there. Clothes can easily give the appearance of wealth, position, dignity. But the fact is, under the clothes, they're just as naked as the rest of them. Just because someone dresses well doesn't mean that they're a hypocrite. But we can judge people by the way they dress in both directions. People are judging folks in both directions. So we just say, well, I don't dress like that, so I'm not judgmental. Well, that's not true, necessarily. Because you're saying, I don't dress like that, so I'm not judgmental. You know what you just did? You made a judgment. You know what? We ought to forget about that stuff and give the Lord our best. Make sure we're good, we're modest, make sure we're clean. Brush your teeth. You know, clean your hands, comb your hair, do something to make sure you look like somebody. You know, what was it? What Andy Griffith said to Opie? He said, go out and act like somebody. Go out and do something. I mean, be, you know, go out and, you know, represent the name well. That's all. That's what we're doing. We're representing Christ. But we're not careful. We get all hung up on this stuff. I'm not talking about. Modesty is important. Listen, you don't want me to walk up here with my shirt down to here. You don't. You don't want me to come up here with my shirt down to here. You know what, ladies? I don't want you to come in here with your shirt down to here. But you know, if you do, I probably am not going to say a doggone thing. I'm probably not. So, well, you ought to. Well, certainly not going to do it in public. And if you're representing, if you're in the ministry, then we might have one of the ladies say, hey, we want to bring it up a little bit. You know. You think, well, it's fine. Well, okay, it's fine, you know, for you, but you see yourself every morning in the mirror. You don't think about it. Some guy's going to look, think about totally different, you know. Boy, it gets quiet when you start talking about this kind of stuff. But it's important. It is important. On the other hand, I've got it all worked out. What's the matter with you? Now all of a sudden we've gone the wrong direction. Number three, hypocrites are impressed with worldly position. Worldly position. You start name dropping. Well, I'm part of this organization, da 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 da. Well, you know what? God is the one who gives power to get wealth. God's the one that raises folks up and puts them down. And you know what? Holy Spirit before a fall and pride before pride before a destruction. Holy Spirit before a fall. There you go. Because we always say pride before a destruction, but it's actually mixed up in there. But anyway, we get impressed with that. And then we try to impress people with that. Go to a high school reunion. And everybody wants to see how far they've gone in the last 30 years. My high school, 45th? No. Yeah. No. 35th. '78, '88, '98, '08, '840th. High school reunion is coming up next year. 40 years! I walked in there 4 years ago, and I walked in there, and there wasn't any of my classmates there. It was all their parents. At least that's what it looked like. That's what it looked like. I remember the PTA meeting when I was a kid. There they were, same bunch. Why are they at my high school reunion? Now we get impressed with worldly position. Preachers can get impressed with that. We can get impressed with who's got the biggest building. Who's got the biggest crowd? You know, who's making the most money? Who's driving the best car? Position. Number four, hypocrites are impressed with worldly education. Now, I'm all for education. But if we're not careful, all of a sudden we want to talk up here in the stratosphere. And you know, somehow we think if we use a bunch of big words, they don't have any idea what they're saying, but they must be really smart, because I don't understand a word they said. I mean, the fact is, that's the way it happens a lot of times. We get real impressed because, man, I couldn't even understand half the things he was saying. I mean, all those 16-cylinder words in there, you know, I have no idea. And we start dropping all these things. The point is this, we're worried about that. Listen, we can know everything about this world, and when it comes to God, we're dumber than dirt. And when it comes down and we're ready to take our last breath, do you realize all that education is not going to help us one iota to get across that river, to walk us in that door? God's not going to say, oh, here comes a guy, he's got so many degrees, it looks like a thermometer. Hold up, Peter, look, hold up one in here. Not going to happen that way. You see, do we have a lot of problems? No, this is in line with what we've been going through here. But if there was any of this kind of starting to show itself, I'm just trying, maybe we'll knock it out as we go along. I don't think there was, but maybe we need to tend to this. Because the fact is, folks tell us all the time, we have such friendly folks. You know why folks are friendly? Because they don't think there's some high and mighty thing that they can't stoop and visit. What is God that he has visited man? Well, and then we? Well, I'm not going to talk to that person. Well, that's, you know, I don't want to be too friendly. They might stay. Mm-hmm. You know? We don't need any more of that kind around here. Number five, hypocrites are impressed with confident attitudes and demeanors. Confident attitudes. What do you mean? Somebody who talks big, we get real impressed with. And if we're not careful, before long, we start talking big like they talk. We're all kind of impressed. We all get all hepped up. Now, fact is, I probably am guilty of all these things from time or another, but I'm confessing them. I'm trying to stay away from them. So here we are. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." I'm not talking about going around running scared. Last Sunday, I remember folks in high school saying, "Well, Sterling, you're a Christian. You're very self-assured. What do you think? You can handle all this. You can handle all the pure course. You're very self-assured." And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm scared to death of people." And I always have been. And in fact, we were talking about this before the service. I'll tell you what changes that. Stop looking at myself and care for somebody else, and all that other stuff starts to disappear. Now, how many have come to the church here in the last 10 years? Okay, 11, 12. And I've said this before. People down at Open Door can't understand how I'm even a pastor because I stuttered so much. And the fact is, I wanted to give out the Word of God, but I was thinking about them watching me give out the Word of God. And when I came up here, this was my mentality. I may end up looking like the biggest fool in all the town, but when I'm finished, if they know truth and are willing to believe it and trust it, I've done my job. So it doesn't matter a bit what they think of me, as long as I have not disgraced the name of my Lord. And if they understand truth, even if they say, "Well, that guy's just a silly guy," but the fact is, he's telling us what I can see is right there. I understood it when I left. Then I'm okay. So now you know why some of the stupid things that I do. That's why I do. Number six, hypocrites are impressed with social status. Hypocrites are impressed with social status and the company one keeps. We worry. You've heard the story about the Pharisees. You know, like if he knew who that was, he wouldn't be eating with her. Why does he eat with sinners and publicans? It's funny how they separate those two. They're sinners, but he's a real big sinner. He's a publican. You know why? Because he's stealing money out of my pocket. That's, you know, I mean, if he wants to run around with a neighbor's wife, as long as it's not my wife, it's okay. But man, when he comes around looking for taxes, he starts taking money out of my pocket. Oh, there's a sinner. We worry about social status. They do that in churches. I've told you the story. I didn't want to go to the Open Door in Westminster because I didn't want to be a little fish in a big pond. I've had folks say, "How? It's like you've been looking in my window. You know all my faults." No, I know all my faults. And there's no sin that hath taken you except that which is common to man. I have to confess it. I have to stay right with God. I have to keep my nose in the book. I need to stay on my knees like everybody else. And when I tell you that's the truth, I'm not telling you, "Well, that's easy for you because you're self-confident. You've got it all worked. You've had it easy. You always just got..." No, I'm a sinner. A preacher is just a sinner telling other sinners to stop sinning. He's a doubter telling other doubters to stop doubting. And we can sit there and we can try to pretend that that's not a problem. But the fact is, if you're honest with yourself, we've all had a problem somewhere. Maybe no one else in the world knew it. But see, there again, we think it's okay because no one else knew it. God knew it. And that's the only one that does matter. Pharisees thought it wrong that Jesus ate with the publicans and the harlots and the sinners. But you know what? The publicans and sinners probably didn't like seeing Jesus eat with the Pharisees either. To the publicans and the harlots, the Pharisees were probably the biggest sinners in the whole town. Because they say that they all knew, they all tell everybody what to do, but they don't do it themselves. And then they start justifying their sin because they think they're bigger sinners because they talk righteous and they live unrighteous.
And he got the Pharisees, I thank God that I'm not one of these publicans. You know what I do? I mean, I pray and I fast. And boy, good. You know what, God, you're pretty lucky to have me. I'm sorry you got a bunch of these guys around here.
Jesus was not spending hours and hours down at the bar with his cronies drinking. But he loved them. And he went into all the world. Letter E. We are not to be of the world, but we are to be in the world. The last prayer that we have of Jesus praying in the garden, John 17, he says, now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil that's in the world. That's the implication there. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to deal with them? Listen, we say, well, I don't want to be around those people. Well, I don't want to this. You know what? You stay in the book. You stay under the hearing of the word of God. So, because you're not coming out of the world, you're in the world until the day you leave this world. And as the Father has sent him, so sends he us to be a light in the world. But what good is a light in the world if it doesn't go, if it hides under a bushel away from the world? You know, so I'm going right out there in the middle of the whole bunch of them. But I don't want them to see me, my clothes, my position, my attitude, I know what's going on, you know. I want them to see the light that's in me, which is Christ. I want that to shine, not what is earthly to shine to everybody else. Number two. Maybe not. It's got too much good stuff here. I don't want to press through this. We'll stop right there. It's quarter after, isn't it? That's what time we're supposed to stop, isn't it? I think it is. You know, I've always hesitated to talk about hypocrisy a whole lot. And the reason is, we're all guilty. To some degree, at some time. And I'm going to get to it, but traditions of men pose an awful lot of that. I mean, you're going to have some people, listen, just in the independent Baptist movement, which I've been in for almost 40 years, you have people who are smug and criticize that crowd because they do this and we do that, and the same bunch over here are criticizing that crowd because we do this and they don't do this. That's where we get the schisms, and the fact is, I don't even talk about this amongst you all because you don't need to know. And I have some buddies who say, you know what, I don't get in all these little camps and all this stuff because I just want to pastor our church and win our town to Christ. And we're not careful. Leaders get full of themselves, and before long they decided a certain set of criteria, and then this is what righteousness is. And if you're not doing this, then you're not righteous. Now you may be okay in some ways, but you're not righteous. You're not up to par. And these are people say, well, if you're over there, then you're certainly not up to par. I was thinking about this just this afternoon. I don't know why we even got on this thing. Some of you know who Bobby Robertson is. Just a wonderful old God, a southern boy, just loves his people. He's been pastoring for 60 years. Pastoring for 60 years. Included a heart attack, cancer, twice I think. A nervous breakdown, split in the church, same church.
And almost every independent fundamental Baptist preacher in America kind of considers him this, kind of like Moses, you know, he's my granddaddy. Now some of you know Clarence Sexton. Or even, let's say, Paul Chappell. Totally different type of personality.
Bob Robertson said, you know what, I'm out all night trying to help folks. If I decide I don't want to go into office till 10 o'clock, I'm not going into office till 10 o'clock. Now, some people don't like that, but that's why, you know. But he said, well, I'm going to be out there when people need me, I'm going to be there.
And then you got folks who are building these colleges and there's nothing. See, well, you shouldn't have a college because you ought to pay your attention to your people. Well, then who's going to have the college? And then I'm not saying either one of these guys were doing this, but you could have somebody from a college say, well, your problem is you should have been doing it. We should have started a college over there. We would have had something. God doesn't call everybody to do the same thing. You know, pastoring out in the middle of the cornfield where Bobby Robertson is totally different than pastoring in California. Oh, my soul. Totally different. And we're beating each other up, shooting our own wounded, because they didn't do exactly what we do. Brother Bobby, he does special music. And you know when he's his own bus director, he's his own music director. We get ready, he's sitting in his chair. I'll sit here because you can't see him. And the church service is getting on, and the piano and the organ's kind of playing the prelude. And he looks across the room and he catches an eye and says, you know what that means? You're singing special music this morning. That's what that means. You're singing this morning. I hope we have something ready because I'm going to call you up about that time. You go down some places, they have revival services. And they've got a guy lined up or two, but then they're going to take them from the floor. And you better have a sermon in the back of your Bible because they're going to say, your turn, Brother Pendle, come on up. Yeah. Now, then you got somebody like Clarence Sexton. Some of you know who I'm talking about. That man is a micromanager, but the fact is he's built the institution he's built because of who he is. The way he is, and the leader. Paul Chappell, the same way. They're very much alike, to be honest with you. They're double A, triple A. You've heard of an A personality and a B personality. Clarence Sexton talked to me probably, 25 years ago. And he talked to me for about a month and a half about going down there to run the music at his college and his church. And he says, now, Sterling, you've heard about an A personality. I said, yes, sir. He says, I'm a triple A. I'm a triple A. And I just feel like you should know that before you come. Now, Dr. Smith was a double A. But I knew of Clarence. And the fact is, I don't think I probably could have worked for him. I don't think I could. Now watch me. Here's what I'm thinking. What if something happened at Temple Baptist where Clarence Sexton is, and Brother Bobby was say 50 years old instead of 85, and they called Brother Bobby to take that ministry, as great a man as Brother Bobby is. I don't think it'd be the right pick. Now, you folks who've been down to Gospel Light where Brother Bobby is, I feel like the church feels a lot like ours. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it feels a lot like ours. Good folks, care about each other, servants, down to earth. You go down there, it's like you've known them all your life. And they serve, and they're pleasant, and they, give. But the fact is, they're not going to toe the line like Dr. Sexton, Clarence Sexton, likes people to toe the line. They get everything done, but if he went in there, I think he'd rip that church to pieces. Because I said, what is this? Because for the last 60 years, some of them were born and they're 60 years old, have never had any other pastor but Brother Bobby. They're ready to retire. Now, all this is I'm saying is, we get, and you say, what does it have to do with hypocrisy? Listen, Brother Bobby and Brother Clarence get along very well. They have a big preacher's fellowship every fall.
And they do it down at Hillsville at Brother Bobby's camp. And Clarence comes in, and they bring all the preacher come in, and they do it for free. Come on in, just regroup, come in there and air out, and just you just encourage one another, and just, you know, pray with one another. But the fact is, here's what makes them both great. Brother Clarence knows that Brother Bobby is Brother Bobby. And Brother Bobby knows that Brother Clarence is Brother Clarence. And they don't try to run each other's ministries. And where the hypocrisy shows up is when I decide what I've done has worked here, so thus it should work everywhere else. And it may be working, but if you did it my way, it'd be working better. And that's what happens in ministries. That's what happens in families. There's some things that Nathan's fiance in California is going to do at their wedding, and it's not a thing wrong with it. It just ain't, we ain't never done it around here like that before. And that's in my heart. But the fact is, there's not a thing wrong with it. It's just the way they do it in California. Now, I'm talking about getting bad music. I'm not talking about putting drinks out at the wedding. There's none of that. I'm not talking about any of that kind of stuff. It's all fine and dandy. Everything perfectly fine. But there's some, and don't tell them that. And certainly don't tell her that when she gets in town here in a month and a half. She's already scared of me. But she's only about this high, you know. But sweetest little thing. But anyway, okay, I'm sorry. I took long after all. My point was, I guess I wanted to share that because it points to us, preachers. Hypocrisy comes in a lot of different colors. And we forget about truth and righteousness. And if we're not careful, a lot of it, and that's what he's going to say to the Pharisees, because they say, why don't your disciples keep our traditions? And he says, well, your traditions go against the law. But they're saying their tradition go against their law. Why don't we just get lined up with his law? Forget about all this other stuff. Personalities. What this person thinks, what they're looking at, how do I come up? I got to go along with them if I'm going to go up the status level, the ladder. God's got everything under control. Anyway, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us. And Lord, I pray that, I don't know what all that was about at the end there. I pray that you'll use it there to help us just kind of see past ourselves and see you. Lord, help us to be loving and caring and open. Lord, all of us, we deceive ourselves. We even talk about our deceitful lusts. Our lust comes up and deceives ourselves and makes us want things we shouldn't have, makes us think things, make us appreciate certain things or weigh things differently than you would weigh them. And before long, we're trying to put this on other people. And Lord, my goodness, help us. Help us. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us when people see us, they see the light of Christ shining bright. But Lord, if we're putting it on, it's just artificial light. It's going to be a blinding light. It's going to hurt the eyes, hurt the heart. But the light of Christ is always the perfect temperature. Always the perfect brightness. And you suit it to fit the need of the person seeing it. Lord, help us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.